And the main text is going to be, we're going to be around Mark chapter 4. But I got a couple of verses before we get there. This verse was on my heart. It says, in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." I constantly hear, boy, it's strange times, strange times. And it is strange for this country and for this generation. We ain't never seen nothing like this. Oh, but our forefathers. I can't help but think about them Christians that were in Europe in the 30s. They had to think people done lost their minds, killing Jews and burning Bibles and... oh my goodness, strange. And sin is all, it's always been. And that verse was on my heart. And even in spite of that strangeness, and in spite of the darkness, in spite of the sin that seems in such abounding. This year, naturally death abounds because death is the cost of sin. If you got a lot of sin, you're going to have a lot of death. This nation's got more sin than it's ever had because it's got farther from the Lord than it's ever got. It thinks it's getting too big for its britches. It ain't a little country no more. It ain't near the Lord. It's always kept it. It's starting to venture off and look around. And so sin's going to abound. Death's going to abound. Oh, and that's the main verse of the night. That's the thought. It was even in my prayer letter a little while back. I was eating with another preacher, a man that spends all his time in prison like I do. And he said, "You ever wonder why it's so free in prison?" And I said, "I ain't never thought about it." And he said, "Well, you figure you got all that sin bunched up in one place." That's how they got their sin. And they know they're sinners. And some of them are saved sinners, just like in the house of God. I'm a saved sinner. But there's sin and abundance there. And it says over here in Romans, it says in verse 20, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." That's the name of the, that's the title of the message, is "Grace Did Much More Abound." Them men are in there. You think a preacher ought not to be able to preach a lick? As a matter of fact, in most church houses you go into, if you looked at how much sin was there, a preacher ought not to be able to preach a lick. I ain't just talking about out there, I'm talking about right here too. If you knew the things that went through my mind, if you knew the sin, oh, you wouldn't want to hear a word I said, and I wouldn't want to say nothing to you, because if I knew what was in your hearts. Oh, but grace did much more abound. Oh, them old boys, there's such liberty in the prison. They eat it up and you can preach. Oh, because you don't go in there by yourself. When I got saved, that Holy Ghost moved in. He goes with me everywhere I go. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's why it gets so sweet in the presence of sinners. They don't hinder him. Yeah. Yeah, because he died for that mess. Oh, oh. This buddy of mine, he sent me a text that, oh, it stirred me up. He said, talked about how Jesus tasted death, and I got to think about death swallowed up in victory. He didn't leave none for me or you. He just went ahead and ate the whole thing. Oh, oh, he didn't even leave no crumbs of death. Oh, he traded. Hey, man, you ever seen that? Two kids swap lunches? Everybody wants to come out ahead. Jesus, what he traded us. Oh, oh, he knew what was in that poke. Oh, it wasn't no mystery to him. He knew what I had. He gave me what he had. And he took what I had. Oh, and he said, "No backsies." Oh, oh, we're going to look at how grace did much more abound. Amen. That's what we're going to look at tonight. We're a country of sinners. Some of them are saved, but it's a country of sinners. And sin's abounding in our nation. It's abounding from the top all the way to the bottom. It is. You can't watch the news. It's lying to you anyways. Oh, but anybody can see that sin's abounded, but praise the Lord. That just means grace is much more abound. Hey, first let's look at the sinners. How the grace can abound in a sinner's life. In that fiery trial that we think is strange. We're going to be right here in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 is where we're going to kick off. It says it. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. That's the Jesus speaking, the Lord of hosts. He stepped out of glory. He just got done preaching right here, and he said, let us pass over to the other side. Oh, preacher, I'm so glad when he told me to go with Rock of Ages. Oh, when he gave me that verse, he said, go, and the highway shut down. Jesus didn't step away from me and said, I'll see you in Alaska. No, sir, he's going to go with me all the way. Amen. Oh. And then when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Think how strange that seemed. You're there with the King of Kings, and it looks like a ship's going down. It's a taking on water. Ain't that how the church looks today? It looks like it's taking on water. It looks like it's a sinking. But just like right here, Jesus ain't worried about it. That old ship of Zion might be riding low in the water. Amen. But he ain't worried a lick about it. Just like he was right there. You can tell how worried he was. It says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I'm telling you, there must be some peace on there for him to get shut eye. I don't care how hard he preached, how tired he was. It's hard to sleep on a boat that's a rocking. I used to, for our guest, I used to be a biologist in Alaska. I used to work on fishing boats in the Bering Sea. When she was a wallering side to side, it wasn't half as bad. I could pretend I was in a big cradle. But that forward backward business is rough. That head hits, and then the feet hit, and then the head hits. Hard to get a good snooze like that. Every time I start, my head would hit. Or maybe I was just a little big for the bunk. I don't know. Oh. But you can see how concerned the Lord is. Well, he's just as concerned tonight. He ain't a bit worried about this COVID. Yes, just like there, we're thinking, what in the world? This thing looks like it's a going down. He ain't worried. It's a going up. Oh, and then it says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I'll have you know, I don't know that he will, but if he wanted to, he could say, peace, be still to this COVID mess, and everything go calm, if he wanted to. But it's accomplishing what he wants. There's some people worried about dying. When you get worried about dying, you start looking how to live. Oh, and it said, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? That don't sound like sin abounding, does it? Well, it's aligning straight up to continue in chapter 5. It just continues straight through. There's a chapter break there, but it says, and they came out unto the other side. You can see it's just continuing on there, of the sea, under the country of the Gadarenes. We're talking about a place where sin abounds. We're talking about a country where they're raising unclean beasts. They ain't doing much sacrifice when the main market's hogs. He landed in a place where sin was abounding. Oh, and he stepped off a boat. And when he was come out of the ship, Jesus stepped off a boat. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. More sin. Not just a wicked place, but a wicked man. A very wicked man. And it says who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying, cutting himself with stones. Don't that sound like anarchy? Don't that sound like our country? They want relief, and they don't know how to do it. They think by spitting on police officers or whatever they're going to do, that they can find relief by going against the rules of society. That's what he did. He's in the tombs. They tried to bind him. They tried to do whatever to help him. Society's ways don't work anyways. I got a dear friend. He is on meth. He said he went through, I don't know how many of them programs, only thing that worked for him was getting saved. They can try to bind you with whatever they want, but it ain't going to work. And that society, and it's wicked. Lost men helping lost men don't do nothing. The lost men said, boy, he's real bad. And they'd try and chain him up, do whatever they could, and he was real wicked. Sin abounding. Can you tell sin's abounding? Old boy cutting on himself and crying. Oh, it's fixing to get good. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him where sin did abound. Grace did much more abound. When he stepped off that boat, that captain of that boat didn't even know what he did. He realized he got Jesus to a sinner. You realize that this sounds almost too hard to believe, but it simply is not the case. This happens every time a sinner gets saved. We know that Jesus was the Word made flesh. When you give somebody the Word, you realize you did the same thing as that ship captain, that you got Jesus to somebody. You got the Word to somebody. That man's a lost man. There's still men possessed today. There's still people full of demons today. Oh, anybody that kills children and murders and does these filthy things, they're bound to have one or two demons around. Oh, every time they kill a baby, marring the image of God, man created in His image. Every time a baby's born, oh, babies are a heritage to the Lord. Every baby born is meant to give God glory. Every child born is meant to get saved. Oh, sin gets in the way. But grace did much more abound. He just wasn't, he'd been cut up and he'd been doing all these things and he had all them devils and demons in him. And it says, and when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. You realize when them devils started a-trembling, that's how he knew that was Jesus. They always seem to have an upper hand, but today they started getting all trembly. Oh, that's good. You realize when you read that word, it still does that today? That Bible to a lost man makes them uncomfortable, makes them trembly. It shakes whatever's got a hold of them. It still does. Still does to this day. Put the word on them. Oh, and he said, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Many. Them devils, them sins. A Roman legion is between 4,000 and 6,000. That's what a Roman legion is. So I don't know how many a demon legion is, but we know that they went in at least 2,000 hogs, and that's if they didn't double up. Go piggyback. Oh. First mention of deviled ham in the Word of God. And it says, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 that were choked in the sea. Oh, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. You realize sin was abounding. Sin, them devils went there because it's a wicked place. Oh, and they had a hold of that man, all that sin. Oh, 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 but when he felt them devils start a-trembling at the presence of the Lord, he said, there must be something to that. Oh, and he had to yield. You realize he had to let that pride, he had tried everything else, and it left him miserable, a-cutting on himself and a-crying. And the day Jesus came in, the day, oh, oh, he yielded to Jesus and got rid of them devils. Oh, grace did much more abound that day. The old boy, it says in another account, he is naked. And he fell down at the feet of Jesus, Shoot, he got clean inside. Jesus cleaned house. Amen. I don't know what kind of mess at least 2,000 demons leaves. Oh, but they can leave a mess. Oh, undoubtedly there were some scars in that heart. But Jesus gave them an eviction notice. And amen. That Holy Ghost indwelling spirit wasn't around yet. You ever think about that preacher? Oh, the night of Pentecost. That old boy, if he was still doing what Jesus sent him to do, he had been used to evil things being in him. Oh, but tonight that cup run over with something good. Ain't that good? Oh, you ever think about that? Oh, I like to think about it. There's a lot we don't see right here. We know he was near the ocean. Jesus had just stepped off the boat, and them piggies had just went into the sea. I wonder if he went ahead and got baptized. I wonder who was the first one to cover that nakedness for him. If it was Jesus or one of the men with him. They had a new baby brother who wants to swaddle him first. Heaven, grace did much more abound that day. And it didn't stop there. Jesus, he ain't afraid to, they say, on the playground or in the jailhouse, pick a biggest one and punch him in the nose and you'll have a lot more peace. Well, this old boy, he's the baddest one. He was so bad that the rest of the town didn't want nothing to do with him. We all got somebody like that in our family. You think God can't help him? You think nobody can help him? Well, he was that fella. Everybody else thought they was okay because that fella was so wicked. What do you say when Jesus saves them? If he can save him, he can save me. Uh-oh. Conviction starts falling. Conviction doesn't fail on them swine farmers. They knew they was raising unclean beasts. And then when they seen Jesus take a big batting, Oh, there wasn't enough sin abounding there that grace couldn't much more abound. Grace done moved in, done got a hold of that old boy. He done covered them scars up. He looked like a normal Joe. And every time you find him with Jesus. Grace did much more abound. Oh, and we continued on, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. More proof that there's wicked. They didn't want no part of Jesus. They didn't want no part of a man straightening up. Didn't want no part. Ain't that just like our country today? They don't want no part of what makes a wholesome home and a right family and working men. They don't want that. They push for the other end. Sin appears to be abounding. Oh, but when Jesus, when he picked that old boy, he cleaned him up good. Look right here. It says, and when he was coming to, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. I didn't catch that the first few times I seen it, but he went to Decapolis. Decapolis means 10 cities. That's what the word means. The old boy he became a circuit preacher. What about that? Or a circuit testifier, whatever you want to say. One or the other. Oh, and many did marvel. And in Luke's account it said, when Jesus came back by, they was waiting on him, and many did believe. Don't tell me that grace came much more abound than that wicked place. It started with one. You realize it only has to start with one. Oh, if one of them little old bus kids gets saved. Oh, the difference. Mama and daddy will see in that youngin. Oh, they'll say the demon's gone. Something else is here. Grace. Grace. You can't stop it. You can't hinder it. Oh, that's grace for the sinner. Now let's look at grace for the saint. Judges chapter 16. You know, I could pick Peter, or I could pick any other. Lots of them failed the Lord and got back up and went on. Mark, he quit, and later
Paul said, come on back. Peter, he cussed and heard them roosters crow and got convicted, and God let him preach on the day of Pentecost. There's a great many. But for me, I wasn't no cussing sailor that got saved. I was a little boy. And just like old Samson, he said the Spirit would move on him as a child in the camp of Dan. He knew God from an early age. And the old boy messed up. He messed up several times. He had a Nazarite vow on him. He was raised right. He was raised above right. An angel of the Lord told his mom and daddy to raise him extra special because God had purpose in him. Well, you realize that's true for everybody. There ain't a child born that God ain't got purpose in. But he wanted them to take care, and they did. And they didn't cut his hair. And you know the Nazarite vow, you're not supposed to cut your hair. You're supposed to bear that reproach, that shame, to show that you're set apart for the Lord. And then you ain't supposed to touch nothing of the vine, not grapes or raisins, wine. You ain't supposed to touch nothing. Not even supposed to touch the vine. And you ain't supposed to touch nothing dead, not even your family. Well, he was raised that way. And he had already messed up a few times. We found him in the vineyard of the Philistines. Philistines represent the world. He got out in the world when he's young. And then God showed mercy, and he'd keep fighting the world. And then he touched that dead lion, and that followed him home, that rotten honey. Pleasure for a season with a bad aftertaste. And then we're going to look at this right here. Oh, this is chapter 16 and verse 19. This is about Delilah. And it says, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. That's his testimony she shaved off. That represented his separation from the world. After she got done shaving his head, she could have had any Philistine she wanted. Obviously, she's pretty. But she wanted somebody that could pray. And she wanted to contaminate them. Ain't that like the world? Sin's abounding right here. The old boy, he was the one that's supposed to deliver his people from the Philistines, from the world. If he was looking at him today, he'd be a real good preacher. Well-known preacher. Good Christian man. And then he lost his testimony. That's basically what happened. She shaved that off his head. He looked like any other Philistine. Well, and then they took him and put his eyes out. She is a bad girl. And put his eyes out. And it says, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Boy, that's low for a Christian, ain't it? You went from killing Philistines to now you're feeding their babies. You're making them bread. Ain't that bad? You realize that's what happens when you lose your testimony? If you stay down, if you don't get back up, if you don't go back to the Lord and you say, there's no point, I ain't worthy no more. Why do I pick Samson? Because I was on the shelf for a long time as a saved. I remember when I stepped off the shelf, it was an opportunity to go on a mission trip. And I still had sin in my camp. And I almost didn't go. I waited to the last minute. Well, I didn't feel worthy, you see. Even though it was secret sin, sin is sin. Sin is sin. And I didn't feel worthy to go serve God. But then I felt ashamed if I didn't go. Because there's people that would go, but they can't. That's why I picked Samson, because I can relate to Samson. I imagine him. Could you imagine? He had killed, and he was the man that stood. He was the strongest of his people, and he kept them from the world for 20 years. And then he lost his testimony. And now he's a grinding, making them stronger, making the very enemy stronger. Just like a Christian on a bar stool. You're making the enemy stronger. That's all it is. Well, if they can do it, they ain't no different than me. Look at old Samson. Boy, you look like a Nazarite now, don't you? Where's them 7 locks? He's just that bald head and blinded eyes. I wonder how long bitterness I'm sure he marched in bitterness for a long time. Every time he'd try to stop, I'm sure they'd crack that whip. And he'd think about how he felt his mom and daddy and how he was raised right. This happens all the time. Any Christian that slips, you ain't alone. It's not strange, the fiery trial, when you mess up as a Christian. It ain't strange, the things that come through your head that you can't be used no more. He's sitting there thinking, I'm blind. And you remember when he killed them with the jawbone and how he used to be able to pray. And when he was about to thirst to death, he asked God, and God opened that jawbone. He got him a drink like he ain't ever had. All them memories of living for God. And it seems like sin's abounding, don't it? Let's look. When sin abounds, grace did much more abound. The very next verse. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. You know what that tells me? God was at work even when he didn't think he was usable. God started letting them hairs grow. Now that does something for me. Samson's blinded, don't think there's anything else he can do for the Lord. But that same God that knows every hair on your head, he let them start growing. Amen. That hair that represents separation, you know what that means? That means separation starts coming back. What's that mean, Christian? If you ain't living like a Christian, that means you start living like a Christian again. That means you start saying no to the old man again. And you start doing what God wants you to do. That means you start believing that Bible again. That's what happened. A little bit of separation started coming back. Amen. Just like when Adam failed, you notice God's always, he wants you to get back up. He don't want you to stay down in a gutter. He ain't that God waiting to whip you. He wants you to walk. He wants you to live. He wants you to prosper. He don't want sin. He came down to eat sin. He don't want it to have its way. He came down to destroy what the devil's done. And he started letting that hair grow. Not only that, it don't look like grace. But we're going to look at some more grace. Unmerited favor. Boy, it don't look like it. It says, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hand our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Boy, that don't sound like grace, does it? But God's getting them in one spot. God's putting all them bad dudes in one spot. He gets them together with their little dead guppy god Dagon. Half fish. You'd rather have a half fish guppy god than the living God. And they're down there making merry. God's letting them gather up. Old Samson don't even realize what the Lord's doing. Oh, and it says, it came to pass when their hearts were merry, and they said, call for Samson, that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house. And when he made them sport, they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may fill the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now when the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson, God's already there. He's letting that hair grow. He's been waiting for this. The Lord's waiting for that that's messed up to call upon him. He says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, oh Lord God, remember me. Oh yeah, he ain't forgot you. He done letting them hairs grow. He said, I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, oh God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. What about that? You realize what just happened? That means that Christian man that finally realized God was awaiting on him to get back on the battle line, even though he's blind, even though he's in chains, one little old prayer and a little bit of separation, you realize he tore down the enemy's house. You realize that can still happen today? If a Christian will get up out of the gutter, that same God, he ain't lost in the strength. You realize what happened? The statue they worshipped, it got fell on. There were 3,000 just on the roof, not counting what was in the house. The house of the enemy fell because a Christian got back up. Child of God. Sin sure did look like it was abounding that day, didn't it? Making fun of the Christian that was blind. There's a child of God that is blind. Making sport of God's man. Then you got your old dead God there and whatever other wicked things the world's into. Oh, it took a little short prayer. And God said, all right. Grace did much more abound that day. Unmerited favor. Yes, he messed up. But that ain't the God we serve. We serve one that loves us. Oh, I'm almost done. There's the sinner. There's the sufferer. I mean the saint. Now let's look at the sufferer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We looked at how his grace much more abounds for the sinner. You realize it ain't just that old wicked man that was full of them demons and cutting on himself. That night when I was a little old boy and I realized when Jesus came near how dirty I was. I was going to the same hell that man was. Grace did much more abound. I got saved. This life is short, and it's full of troubles. I listened to the prayer requests and things. I was thinking of all the sorrow, and you can put sorrow in there, or suffering, wherever you want to put it. This life is short, and it's full of it. But for them children of God, this is as bad as it ever gets. And it's still good when you got Jesus. Let's look right here. Oh, Paul said in verse 6 of chapter 12, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He had a specific thorn. But anybody that bears flesh has thorns. Every one of us. Maybe it's a lost person and we don't understand why the Lord won't let us see them get saved. It'd be something that troubles us. Maybe it could be physical infirmities, sickness. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm getting fatter and older. And that ain't my new man. He looks good. That's that old man. It's that one that's a dying. It says, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Every day he woke up, that old man's there, basically, is what that tells me. Them thorns in the flesh. Every day that old man's there. And then it says, oh, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. You know how often, preacher, I wish my old man just go away. You wake up and you say, I didn't mean to have that thought. I can't believe it. Sometimes you have bad dreams. You got to repent over dreams. That old man's there. And I wish he'd depart, but he will one day. And he said unto me, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You realize when Samson was at his weakest, he killed more than he did his whole life. Ain't that something? When he had to rely on the Lord more than ever before, he didn't even have eyes. He killed more than he did all 20 years of judging. Ain't that something? Every day that old man, he reminds me he's there. But the Lord's grace is sufficient. That unmerited favor. You know what I like to do? I like to make that old man do stuff he don't like. Every time you kneel at an altar, or you go to that closet and you kneel in that prayer closet or in that place in the woods, or you take a time to read that Bible, you're making that old man do something he don't want to do, and you're getting closer to the Lord. Ain't that good? I looked at a picture the other day, stirred me up. It's my papa, about 1999 or 98. He was dying as long as I can remember. He's sick. He never was healthy in my whole memory. I don't even know if I can remember him preaching other than tapes and things. But in 1999, he wasn't able to walk hardly. Daddy drove him to his place of prayer in the woods. It was a four-wheel drive vehicle. Dad drove him up there. Papa got out on them kidney dialysis. He's gaunt. He's a lot skinnier than me. And a lot shorter, too. But he made that old man get down on them old bony knees and took him into the throne. That's so that new man could go in that throne room. Ain't that good? Unmerited favor. That old man can do whatever he wants to him. Thorns in the flesh can do whatever they want to, but God's strength is made perfect in weakness. It don't matter how bad you feel. If you're saved, you're still his child. And this life is as a vapor. And there's a day a coming when you won't find out about people passing away. There won't be no new gray hairs or them extra double thick blackens I keep finding. Oh, it says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I have become a fool in glory, and ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. What's that mean? That means in this time of persecution, we're unpopular. You're gathering? Da-da-da-da-da. He promised he'd be there for at least a couple of us. If he promises he'll be there, I'm going to go meet him. I love it when the Lord comes by. Oh, yes, it's unpopular time. But even right now when the church looks weak, looks like it's taking on water, his grace is sufficient. We still have unmerited favor. He ain't going to leave his bride behind. He's coming. That's my message. I hope it helps somebody.